Again, Dana said I had no real world experience. I mean, I don't know how to reply to that other than just say, what I find more interesting than that is just, executing and let history being the indicator of that. She also mentioned, though, that this is for developer profits. So I know that last night in the closed-door session, you guys had Ellers do, kind of a deep dive on me in terms of, is he making money? Is he making a ton of profits? And, that's I was told that was going to be kept confidential. But I'd like to share some of that because I think it's an important piece of the narrative. When we talk about the infrastructure costs, just give me a second to kind of level set here.
Mike, before you do that,
yeah, go ahead.
Get your thoughts.
Yeah.
I want to add just one thing to Ian's presentation. The question was, what are we getting out of this? What's the benefit to the city? And if you recall, the original concept was the apartment buildings were going to be built in phases over 2 or 3 years. The key to TIF districts is get the increment in the ground today so that you get the tax value ongoing from day one. The advantage we're getting is not only are they building 4 buildings today, they're building 5 buildings today. So we get an extra building, and then we get increased schedule of property tax income to the TIF district quicker. That accounted for 3 or 4 of the iterations in the spreadsheet.
Right.
So, there's A, B, C, D, and E.
Right, and that's where that $2,000 a day or $60,000 a month becomes really important because the quicker we create the increment, the quicker we can pay for that interest carry. So it's a fair point.
Sorry.
So thanks for buying me time. Appreciate it. So you guys went through this analysis. I'll just share sort of high level for everybody in the room. So what I'm calling the pre-development costs. So to get us to, minus to even get the building erected, to get kind of what I'll call pad ready, cost us, and I use that word very deliberately because it's a private-public partnership. It cost us $34 million worth of infrastructure costs, cost $4 million of land sales, another $2.4 million of pre-development. So that totals $41.1 million. The original developer agreement asked for $22-ish million. We are asking for another $5.2 million. That still leaves a $13.4 million gap. So when people start to say, who's financing that? How is that happening? That's on me. And that's just phase one of this story. I know you guys have this. The other phase of the story is I've got personal equity into the office building, the stadium. I know you guys know this, but I also signed up for $35 million worth of guarantees. And I know the ratio that was shared to you by Ellers was that's a 36.5% sort of signing themselves up for the deal. A typical developer will go in at 10%. So I really, I share that not to sort of, I don't like opening the kimono, but I think this notion of this guy's in it for, just to pat his pockets, like that's not the motivation. I'm in this deal, I'm being held accountable. I know Dana wants to hold me accountable. I mean, the developer agreement does that. We understand that we're going to, have to renegotiate the developer agreement, and with that's going to come a whole new level of accountability. We're not afraid of that. So Dana, hold us accountable. I don't think we've shied away from that. So the next comment, I've got 3 more. Russ Pluo, who used to be my neighbor, came up and said, quote unquote, I don't know what the numbers are. So it's hard to kind of, so I think that's part of the narrative here too. I think, TIFs are very difficult to understand. But he also asked, what are we getting? And you answered a little bit of it, but I also hopefully, Russ, you can walk away saying, here's some of the stuff that we're showing that you're getting. But what I also find interesting, a little just tidbit, is that the company he works for is also financing a piece of this deal. So his company, the company he works for, is financing a big chunk of this deal. So his company is a big believer in it. The notion of people ask questions, don't get answers. I mean, I got to tell you, last time I was up here, I've answered the same question 3 times. I don't know. It feels like we're trying to answer some of the questions, and I hear the same thing in the meetings. And then I heard a comment, Ellers, I don't understand. And I think that's a real thing. I think, like Ian said, I think this is very complicated. And I think it's very difficult, whether it be the common council member, the finance committee, people listening, it's very difficult to get your arms around it. But that's why you guys hired Ellers, right? To see, to do the numbers work. And, you know, when we went through the iterations with these folks, the numbers didn't work. And we know that we're not going to put something in front of you folks unless the numbers work. So it kind of, in my opinion, comes down to either two schools, either you don't like TIFs, which that's your opinion, or you don't understand. And I think the notion of don't understand is there's just, it's a very, very difficult thing to understand. And I think a lot of people, you know, and I think people should appreciate the fact that, you know, Ellers is hired to kind of help demonstrate that. So, you know, with that as a backdrop, I always forget to have Greg come up and talk about infrastructure, which I know is an important piece. Do you guys want him to come up and just give a quick update on infrastructure, or do you feel comfortable?
Anything new since the last time?
Not really.
Not really.
6 inches 2 days ago. We shouldn't build them roads.
It's hard to put the turf down.
So I guess at this point, then, we'll just, if you don't want to hear from Greg, we certainly come up and talk about infrastructure, but we'll turn it over to you guys for any questions that you might have.
Questions? Alderman.
Same question that was last time. So percentage-wise on infrastructure completion compared to last time?
We're up.
So as far as percentage of completion on the infrastructure, we are almost complete with the main utilities, the sewer, the water, the storm water, the We Energies, all that stuff is past that 95% range as far as the completion of the infrastructure goes. And the roadways we have graded, ready to stone, ready to pave. We just needed to dry out a little bit on the main roadway from the roundabout entrance of the Rock West to Rawson. And the majority, 80% of all the parking lots are ready to pave. They're graded. And we just needed to dry out a little bit to go through that. We're still expecting to have the parking lots in the main west half of the roadway north of Rawson in before the end of May, and then give or take the end of June for the entire site with the off-site improvements as well.
So end of June for the east side and the entrance at Hillside?
Yeah. Highview.
Highview. I live in Brainerd. Any other questions? Okay.
One more.
Oh, Green Lantern, sorry.
Ian, there was rumors that the number of apartments, but the number of bedrooms in the units, there was some erroneous comments that they were three-bedroom facilities, and I was under the impression that the majority of them are going to be two bedrooms. There's going to be some ones. There may be some threes, but the others are going to be more twos than threes. I want to put some people in the audience at ease on this.
Yeah, that's correct. I think the confusion comes from the two-bedroom plus den unit, right? So it's a two-bedroom unit. There's a den. It's a separate standalone room that people frequently use as a bedroom, but more commonly it's used as like a home office. So the majority of the units in the project remain predominantly two units, two bedroom plus den sort of units. We do have one bedrooms in the project, but most of it's two.
And what are the price ranges for the rentals?
So the not including parking or some of the other ancillary costs, the cheapest unit is about $1,220. That's just over 700 square feet. The most expensive units, you know, will probably go for $2,100 a month, and that's one of those bigger two bedroom plus den units.
Thank you.
I think, Aaron, is there a way to get the elected officials, because last time we went over the survey, a resident survey that someone was criticizing earlier, and it says that they do get some of the information from aldermen's pages, the mayor's pages, Facebook, and things like that. Is there a way to get copies of those videos sent to us that we can then upload, and then also a copy of the map that you have up there, like in a PDF or JPEG or...
That's online.
Well, that we have, you know, sent to us. Their staff has it or developers.
So, Alderman Sheller, Kelly, I think, is a little bit ahead of you. She just requests all these videos to put them on the website. So,
awesome. Thank you.
Sorry, Scott. Well, could you answer the question that I put out for me?
Which one?
Which one?
Well, I've asked it five times in a row, and you haven't answered it yet. There's a document right here that says how much money is being spent for every part of the project. First column says budgeted amount. Second column says MARSO contract change orders. Third column says order directed. Fourth column says revised total TIF district. Fifth column says various. All I know is if I told my wife I'm going to buy a boat for $1,000 and I come back and say, hey, I need another $500, the first thing out of her mouth is to say, why? Why? Why are these variances high? That's what I want to know. I want to know the details. You're going to give this guy $5 million? Oh, okay, give another $6 million. Yeah, I'm trying to not be funny here. How can you give somebody more money when you don't know why his variances are here in the first place? This is not a simple question. This has to do with finances for the city. I'm paying taxes. All I want to know is why. Thank you. I know I can't talk.
Scott, as usual, you're welcome to meet with Paul, our finance staff, to discuss any of those things. That offer goes to everybody in the room.
You told me that you would answer my question, and you didn't do it.
Mr. Zimmerman.
So the question is, how do we get to 5.2? I think I answered it. Just again, I don't know that he likes the answer.
I want to know the change orders. That's what I want to know.
Oh, so you want the change orders?
Yes.
I mean, that's how much time do we have? I didn't bring the change orders.
I'm retired.
Well, I'm not. I've got a development to build.
Then how do we know they're correct?
So, Scott, please. Let's treat each other with respect. We'll
He's answer
your question.
I don't like it.
I understand.
I think they're legitimate questions. I've answered. I've met with the city staff. We've been through this. I think it's not my job to answer questions for him. I can broad stroke it if that's what he wants. It's not what he wants. He wants to get through change orders. Then I would say then you should spend time and try to get that information to the city. I don't think that's my obligation to do that, with all due respect.
I asked the city and they don't have it.
Well, it depends on what you ask for, Scott. We may not have the original documents. You're absolutely right. We are not the contractor in this job.
We are giving him the money for this job.
I understand that, absolutely. But we are not the contractor, so we don't know. We don't have timesheets.
No, you're correct. You don't know. That's your answer.
Okay. Thank you. You're welcome to talk to the finance staff, but all right. So don't go too far. But
shoot.
Okay. So we're going to move on to item number 3. Woo. Presentation of feasibility analysis for tax incremental district 5, PGD 37, the Rock Sports Complex for amendment of the existing tax incremental district number 5, and creation of a new overlay district. So I think what's important, Cal, is given some of the comments and questions, is you do the highlight of answering some of these questions as you recall this evening, and then we can move on to the next.
Good evening, everyone. So I wanted to just give you a brief update on where we're at in terms of ensuring that the information that we have been gathering and getting finalized is getting out to the public. As of this afternoon, our wonderful web staff here at the city uploaded the site plan to the Ballpark Commons website, and the two models that will be discussed in this portion of the agenda are also uploaded. And there will be frequently asked questions. We've been taking the questions that we've gotten from the public and working through those, running them through every department and every discipline to make sure that we're being both thorough and accurate. So those are ongoing processes. If you go out and look at the site now, you'll see that there's also placeholders that list each of the different project categories, so Lux Golf, for example, and each of those categories will eventually be a clickable link where you'll be able to see what the progress is on the project, the square footage of the building, when it's going to break ground, and any other information that's pertinent that would be of interest to the public. So that is a work in process, but we are on our way, and anybody who wants to go out and take a look at that is certainly welcome to do so. That said, the council action sheet before you this evening is to talk about the phase two for two different contracts. The first contract was on December 4th of 2018, and that was the request from Rock Ventures to add an additional $5.2 million in increment funding for the cost construction overruns, and to amend the boundary to incorporate property that was recently purchased from WISDA. So that contract has three phases. Phase one is a financial analysis, which brings us here this evening. And then the other contract is for a potential TID overlay, which means that the parcels on which the apartments will reside could potentially be broken into its separate standalone TID. And Paul Rotzenberg, the finance director, and Don Gunderson from Ehlers will be covering that in just a moment. That contract as well has three phases. Phase one is a financial analysis. With both contracts, phase two is requesting that we move forward with planning and implementing the project plan. It does not mean that you are saying yes to the requests. It means that you're telling staff and Ehlers that we can move forward and continue working out the details and trying to make this work for the city. We are hopeful that with the timeline that we're proposing, May 23rd, we would like to have a special meeting of the Common Council, at which time we would ask you to entertain a resolution. But I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself because we have to see what happens tonight first. But that's kind of the long-term planning, depending on the decision-making process that happens between now and then. So given that, I was asked at a recent council meeting to try to answer some of the questions that will become part of the frequently asked questions on the website. One of those is the developer in default? And we received late this afternoon, and I will put that up on the website as well. I will coordinate that with the administration department. And the answer is no, the developer is not in default. Should he fail to make a shortfall payment in the future, that would be a default situation. However, Mike Zimmerman has been working towards how he's going to get that money set aside to ensure that we have that good, comfortable feeling that should that happen, it will be covered. The next question, why did the conceptual site plan map change? So in the original iteration, the indoor sports village, and if I get too far off to the side, correct me, okay? Because
sure.
I wasn't here then. I just had to do the research and figure it out. So the original sports performance village was a long ballpark drive. And come to find out that because of the unsuitability of the soils there, because of the landfill, it was not feasible to build there. So that building moved to its current location. You will also notice on the concept plan that was the original site plan that was on the website, there were a bunch of teeny tiny boxes around the apartment buildings. Those were outdoor covered garages or carports for the original apartment concept. And the other thing, which was addressed quite well by Ian Martin earlier, as well as Mike, is the number of apartments, the level of stories and so on and so forth has changed. So there have been some changes to the concept. Many of them were due to things that could not have been foreseen prior to the beginning of construction. Why are there cost overruns? We are in the process of trying to get some more definitive information. We have been forthcoming with some broad buckets of different areas where there's been cost construction overruns. We are working on getting more detailed numbers to you. What if the developer asks for more? There's no reason to believe the project will not succeed or be more successful than planned. Given the status of the project with construction activity coming to a close, there is little likelihood for unanticipated costs or unknown site conditions that require correction. That's the broad brushstrokes that I had for you this evening. And so if you don't have any questions, I'd be happy to pass it on to Paul to begin the financial analysis.
Let me clarify just what you just said with relative to the developer potentially asking for more money. and you said the word, you used the word construction without a clarifier.
The
city
public
the
infrastructure and site prep work is almost completed. The bills as they come in are accounted for. There is very little percentage in total of public infrastructure costs that have not already been incurred. So the likelihood that there will be some kind of public infrastructure construction that comes up that changes these numbers is very slim. So up next is Paul Ratzenberg, our finance director.
Thank you, Kelly. So we're going to tag team this for the Common Council a little bit. I will be providing you an overview of where this project started in 2016 when the TIF district was formed, what happened after that, and where we are today. And we want to do that because when we dive into the numbers, and Dawn Gunderson from Ehlers is here to explain the numbers in detail, it's very easy to get lost in those numbers and not see the big picture. So I'm hopefully going to provide you an overview of this project from inception to where we are today with the changes that have occurred from then to now. And then Ms. Gunderson will be providing the detail numbers. For purposes just to inform the council and the public, the two financial models that we'll be discussing this evening were posted to the city's website this morning. I want to thank the members of the public who contacted me before this meeting to ask questions, because those members of the public, I was able to provide some level of answer. I don't know if I satisfied everyone with the answers, but I was able to get them detailed data because I got the question in advance of this meeting. And so I want to thank those members of the public to provide those questions in advance. So we'll start on this point. The TID was formed in September of 2016. Just by way of a little levity, it was formed on September 6th. That happens to be my wedding anniversary. So it was a day that I remember very clearly. It wasn't the day I got married, but an anniversary of that.